John's Gospel, please. Chapter 1 of John's Gospel. Read verse 29. John 1 and verse 29. These are the words of John the Baptist in the latter part of this text. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Notice verse 35. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 29, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When I read this text, I think of a preacher of the gospel that I knew well. He has died a number of years ago. His name was Oliver Smith. Now the folks are telling us that this is Oliver and this is Smith, but neither one of us are related to that man. His name was Oliver Smith, a gospel preacher that saw many people won to the Lord Jesus. When he was dying, upon his bed in the hospital, he lay there seeking to speak in his weakness, dying with cancer. He could hardly make his voice audible. The doctor was standing beside him, and he kept pointing up, mumbling something, saying something. And the doctor put his face down close to him to catch his words. And these were his words. Doctor, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the way that dear man died, seeking to point men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior from their sins. And I would like to notice with you a little tonight some of the thoughts that dear John the Baptist is seeking to convey to the people as this day, for the first time in his life, as he looked on the Lord Jesus, as he came toward him along the Jordan, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, up until this time, John the Baptist had been preaching totally different from the character of this text. And I would like to say to you tonight, friend, if John the Baptist were in this place, preaching the way he preached, there wouldn't be anybody to do it. And there sure wouldn't be anyone sleeping. John the Baptist preached with power concerning the fire to come, the awfulness of sin against God. He was a fearless man. One day he stood in the presence of a king and looked him straight in the eye and accused him of sin before all his court. Fearless man who feared God and feared not men. One day he preached about being baptized in fire. He preached the realities of the world to come. May I ask this audience kindly tonight, friend, have you ever pondered what it would mean for you to be baptized with fire? That would be the end of the unbeliever of the gospel. To be buried in fire for all eternity. And dear John the Baptist, he was so consumed with a desire to see these people repent and turn from their sin and turn from the world and to see them delivered from the fire that lay before them. He preached with all his being the awful reality of being baptized in fire. Another day he was preaching and he used an illustration. He spoke about a man with an axe, a woodsman. And he spoke about the tree. And he said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. One could almost feel that first blow. And the tree would shudder. The axe had fallen. My friend, tonight, I wonder, have you ever pondered the moment when the first blow of the axe will be cast? The beginning of the end. How solemn it would be. That's the way John preached. He wanted to see men stirred up and face the reality. How will I ever face the judgment of God? How will I meet God should the axe be laid to the root of the tree? The doctor is called. And you complain of something within. And your breath is short. And your face is drawn. And your brow is covered with perspiration. And the nurses gather and the doctors gather and the ambulance siren is heard. And you rush away. Your heart is fast. That's the way John did. He wanted to see men stirred up to the reality of their sin and danger. There was another occasion when John was preaching, and he preached about the days of the threshing in the old-fashioned way, when the men would take the large forks and they would cast the grain into the air in front of a large fan. And the outfit these men made, of course, not electric fans, but these large fans that they had, some of them were turned by wheels, others were all fanned by hand, and they would throw the grain in front of the fan, and the wind would drive the chaff away from the grain. That's the way he preached. There's a day coming when every man's profession will be tested, and the real will be saved, and the chaff will be blown away. My, how he tested men. He made them look at their foundation and ask themselves solemnly, what am I trusting to keep me out of hell and take me to heaven? After all, friend, that's all that matters when your little life and mine is done. What am I resting on to keep me out of hell and take me into heaven? Oh, friend, tonight, may I ask you kindly, in keeping with this dear man's faithful preaching, what are you resting on to take you to heaven? What are you resting on, friend? What are you hanging on to keep you out of hell? For there's a real hell and a real heaven. And thank God, God is a message for us, poor, frail creatures, that we are in our sin. And it's how to escape hell and be sure of heaven. And friend, I'd like to tell you a little about it tonight as I close the meeting. John preached of the eternal fire. He preached of the moment of death. He preached of the moment of testing and the separation of the false from the real. But the day came, and dear John's message took a change. And here we have it in John 1 and verse 29. He saw a man approaching him, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear John, he'd been baptizing the people that had repented, people that wanted to turn from their sin. They were fed up with it. They were ashamed of themselves and their unbelief and their sin, and they wanted God to forgive them. They wanted to be saved, and they came to John to be baptized as a public testimony and witness that they had repented of their sin and they wanted to be saved. And now, dear John, as he's standing by the Jordan and he's about to baptize these people, the Lord Jesus comes along the shore, and as he looks on them, he turns the crowd that had gathered, all those people, and he turns their eyes away from his baptism and away from himself and his preaching, and he turned them to the man that was approaching, the Lord Jesus. And he says, behold, stop now and take a good look. Look who's coming. Look who's here. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. My, what a message. Friend, tonight, thank God, the gospel still points dying, condemned sinners. Stop and take a look at the man Christ Jesus, God's Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. You see, the title, the Lamb of God, pictures the Lord Jesus in his sacrificial work for sin upon the cross of Calvary. That's why the title is given to him, the Lamb of God. God has sent him for the specific work of being a sacrifice on behalf of man in his sin, that the sinner might be righteously, freely, and eternally forgiven, justified, saved before God and for the rest of their life and for all eternity. My, what a great salvation. You know, we hear so much today about following Jesus and being born again and being saved. And you know, the sad part that grieves my heart is this. There's a lot of it, and it's never made a change in the person's life. And I want to say to you tonight, kindly friend, and ask you to search your foundation. If what you profess has never kept you out of the world, it will never keep you out of hell. You stop and think that is. It will never keep you out of hell if it doesn't keep you out of the wrong. God's salvation is the result of his appearance before God. And turning from sin and turning from the world with all its chains and its pleasures and deceit, turning to God as a miserable, dying, helpless sinner that needs to be saved. And when a man gets Christ as his Savior, he's never the same after. Thank God, he wouldn't want to be what I was before. Not have saved in Christ tonight. What a precious thing. Behold, the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world. Now there are three very simple things I'm going to bring to your attention in the 10 minutes that remain to me now. First of all, I want you to notice that John the Baptist was proclaiming to the people that a promise by God has been fulfilled. The Lamb of God was God's promise.